Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation, the Word made flesh. Today is the final Sunday of Advent in 2018, and today we come to stand by His manger and feel once again what it is like to be utterly amazed. Of all times, the incarnation is the turning point. Of all love, the incarnation is the highest point. Of all worship, the incarnation is the central point. And of all salvation, the incarnation is the starting point. Here's a basic question for all of us Christians. What is salvation? Simply put, salvation is being saved from something, being rescued from something. In today's dictionaries, that includes being saved from danger, from evil, from difficulty, from destruction, and much more. But in theology, salvation, of course, is being rescued from eternal damnation. The year was 1843. About 1,000 American pioneers were making their way westward across the United States in their wagon trains. It was a slow, hard journey. They traveled at the rate of about 10 miles per day. So it took about 5 months for them to get to the Great Plains. 5 months for them to get to the Great Plains. On one of those days, they faced a horrible situation. They looked at the skyline and they saw there smoke coming in the skyline. And they realized that the dry grass was on fire and the flame was moving toward them rapidly. There was no way to escape it. They had crossed a river just the day before, but they would not have time to get back to the river in order to escape the flame. The leaders gathered. They were desperate. What shall we do? The people were in great fear. Finally, one of the leaders came up with a plan. He said, "I want you to set the grass on fire that is behind us." And they did. And once it was burned, he said, "Now let's move onto this grass." And when the fire arrived, it could not reach them. The people were so frightened, especially the children. And the leader said to one of the little girls who was crying, "Don't worry, child, these flames can't reach us here. We are standing where the fire has already burned." That was their salvation. And in Jesus Christ, we are standing where the fire has already burned. The fire of God's wrath was put totally on His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And we are left with not even a spark to harm us. That is the result of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. But it all started in the manger in Bethlehem. You know, we tend to think of salvation as being a New Testament phenomenon. But the Old Testament is full of salvation as well. That's especially true in the Psalms, and it's also true in Isaiah. Because the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. The Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. And the name Jesus is throughout the Psalms and throughout Isaiah and in other places in the Old Testament. For instance, in Psalm 13:5, it says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, your Yeshua. And in Psalm 62:1, we read, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation, my Yeshua, comes from Him. And in Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my Yeshua. In fact, Psalm 118 powerfully describes God's salvation through Jesus Christ. We're talking Old Testament. Psalm 118 powerfully describes the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Just listen to some of these verses. I plucked them out of this psalm just for us. I will not die but live. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will give you thanks, for you have become my salvation, my Yeshua. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All of that from Psalm 118, and it goes on and on. Jesus, Yeshua, salvation, from the pages of all Scripture. We have based the sermons this Advent on a quote by Eric Sauer, and he ended that quote by saying that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the starting point of all salvation. Not so. Sorry, Eric Sauer, I disagree. Salvation started long before the incarnation. But the incarnation is a basic point of our salvation. Everything in life has a starting point. Sometimes we think we know what the starting point is. But sometimes the starting point we think is the starting point is not the starting point at all. For instance, if I were to ask you, what was the starting point of your education? What would you say? Some people would immediately think about their freshman year in college. But then they would think about it again and they would say, oh, no, no, no. First grade in school. But when they think about it a little bit more, they would say, oh, no, no, no. It was kindergarten. But when they think about it a little bit more, they say, well, no, my education began in the arms of my mother and my father when I was an infant. Here's another one. What was the starting point of your faith in God? Some people would say, oh, it was when I was baptized or when I joined a church. And then they would think about it and say, well, no, no, it was really back in that Sunday school class when I was a child and that Sunday school teacher introduced me to Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, if I think about it further, it was my mom or my dad or my grandparents who told me all about Jesus. But you know what? The probability is that your faith in God probably began in the womb. After all, God knew you and loved you before you were born. Psalm 139:13, for you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All of these things bring me to one of the most significant dialogues in all of the Bible. It's found in the third chapter of John. I'm reading from John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. You probably already know where I'm going to go with this, don't you? He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How interesting that one of the most important dialogues in the Bible about salvation deals with birth and rebirth. Just like the Christmas story. Birth and rebirth, a starting point of salvation. This dialogue was clothed with theological language. But for Nicodemus, it was clouded by theological language. Jesus tried to help Nicodemus out a little bit by reminding him of an event that happened in the Exodus. Have you noticed how we keep going back and back? Jesus was talking about a story that Nicodemus would have known very well. It's found in Numbers 21. And here's the story that Jesus was recalling. The Israelites spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. Anybody here like snakes? They bit the people and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take these snakes away from us." They were crying out for salvation. They were desperate. "Help! Rescue us from this certain death." Continuing, so Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. That bronze snake was not a symbol of Satan. That bronze snake was a reminder of their own sin and the deadly consequences of their own sin. It is totally illogical to think that just by looking at a bronze image that anyone could be healed by a snake bite. But that's exactly what God told them to do. He wanted from them an act of faith. You and I were born snake-bitten. We have inherited a sin nature that runs through our veins like venom. There is 100% mortality with this snake bite. And just like the Israelites, God calls for us to show him an act of faith. Listen to what Jesus said next to Nicodemus in verse 14. Gee, what happened in John 3:16? Okay, this is verse 14. "Just as Moses lifted the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And then we come to the meat. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Those are the words of salvation. They were not words just about the cross. They were words about the manger as well. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his one and only Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes the greatest simplicity. In him, the greatest person shall not perish, the greatest deliverance. But the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. God brought Yeshua into the world to rescue you. And he did it through a miraculous birth that led to your miraculous rebirth. The angel declared it today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1, the angel said, Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. The Hebrew name Yeshua means salvation. It was Christmas Eve, and the whole family had gathered for a celebration, to enjoy the holiday and to enjoy one another. And there was talking, and there was laughter, and there was food, and there was music playing in the background. And Granddad walked into the family room, and there he found his grandson, Johnny, jumping up and down in his playpen and crying at the top of his voice because he was clearly not happy. And when Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up his little hands and he cried, out, Gramps, out. He wanted out of that playpen. And that's all it took. So Gramps reached down to lift up his grandson out of his predicament. And at that moment, the mother walked in. And she said, no, Johnny. You're being punished, so you must stay in. And Granddad was at a loss to know what he should do. Johnny's tears and his little hands had touched his heart. But he also respected the mother's love and firmness in disciplining her son. And it touched his mind. And he thought for a moment, and then he came up with a solution. He climbed into the playpen himself. And Johnny quit crying. That's what God did for you. He came up with a solution. He humbled himself. And he climbed into a manger. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him, the King of Kings. Salvation brings, let loving arms enfold him. Raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Yeshua. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for being born in us. Thank you for the gift of Yeshua, for our salvation. And Lord, if there is anyone here who needs to be reborn, I pray that you will touch their hearts and touch their minds and open them to you and bring them to full faith in you, Lord God. And if there is anyone here who needs to recommit their lives to you, Lord, may they surrender all. And may we, Lord, rejoice from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. We pray in His name. Amen.